the exact center of something, if you really want to look at the definition or, you know, what Wikipedia will say about it, geographically, Kansas is technically the dead center of the contiguous United States, although someplace in Wyoming, I think, also claims the title in some respects. And anyone watching the Tom Brady show a couple of weeks ago, or for those not interested in American football, the Super Bowl, the championship game, but those folks may have seen a Jeep commercial. The star of the commercial was a dusty, old, cold cowboy who happens to be Bruce Springsteen, who is really not quite a cowboy for Laura Harris and I growing up in the Northeast, where Bruce Springsteen grew up. He's not quite the cowboy type, but the image in the commercial wasn't indeed the cowboy. While indirectly touting genuine Americana connected with the Jeep legend, Bruce was selling something else. As a committed liberal, as Bruce is, he was suggesting that the way to the center of American politics and peace and prosperity was now possible thanks to the failure of Donald Trump to win re-election. Somehow during the Obama years, not to forget Bush 1 and 2, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, and others, we all cavorted in Kansas, apparently, in a chapel, and we were a stronger nation during that time, according to the commercial and what I took away from it. So we forget all about the Clinton impeachment trial back in the 90s and the acquittal and the bitterly contested 2000 election between Al Gore and George W. Bush, and so much nonsense that fed the cable news beast day in and day out. And politicians and world leaders can seek the middle and the warm blanket of compromise that all seem to embrace. And President Reagan in the 80s was arguably perhaps the master of compromise and could find the middle ground over typically a bourbon with the Speaker of the House at the time, Tip O'Neill. And he did a good job with it. And he was considered to be well-loved almost by both sides of the House in the middle. And some years ago, I learned firsthand about the finesse of labor relations and collective bargaining and negotiation. And during the time, there were books that had come out, you know, all the management books that seemed to make their way around. And, you know, all the corporate leaders are supposed to buy these things and read them. But this particular one was called Getting to Yes. And it was well-known, small book. Airport bookstores were, very popular for the placement of these things. Second part of it was Negotiating Agreement Without Giving In. It was first published, I think, in 1981, just as Mr. Reagan was coming into office and imagining sitting across from the Soviet leader, first Brezhnev, then Chernenko, and ultimately Mr. Gorbachev, with whom he developed a working relationship, shall we say. In my case, as I say, coming into that world, I was not negotiating world peace or anything like that, just an acceptable agreement between a city government and its firefighters, police, and other municipal employees that we had the unions with. I learned the hard way that convincing a person or a group just where the middle in that kind of a situation is can be very difficult. First, you have to develop a relationship and build a sometimes grudging trust that perhaps can grow into something more authentic. What I also learned was the message that Bruce Springsteen was selling in the commercial was not born to run by any means. It was the point about coming to the center, the middle, the compromise position that all could accept. To the auto workers in Michigan and the steel workers in Pittsburgh and in Allentown, Pennsylvania, the idea of compromise looks a lot different in the past few weeks following the termination by Mr. Biden of the Keystone Pipeline deal and a lot of people losing jobs. That middle that we apparently all find common ground is within a different perspective depending upon one's view and one's position and one's holding of a job. Each party to a negotiation typically must actually hurt a bit or there typically can't be a settlement. Now, before I arrived at the city of Boulder and got myself enmeshed in the negotiation process. The city had hired an old school lawyer who would pound the table with the best of them, and the unions had their own lawyers who would do exactly the same, and the employees were left off on the side, and whatever they came out with was what was recommended to the city manager. And not to say that they could not arrive at a settlement, but that what was missing was a sense for the employees that either side cared at all in this process, and they were just getting paid a lot of money to come up with something that was perceived to be in the center. And it was really just a game. The employees in the center lost each time, and the city therefore had over 2,000 disaffected employees. With a new approach that we took, we were just not looking for the middle and the pain points. We laid bare and removed the theatrics and the mystery. We got to the middle, or compromise, with transparency, and eventually we all won, or believed we did, and we celebrated. Today, now, in the political realm, the center, the people willing to listen to one another, as we know, and we talk about this week in and week out, really does not exist for many reasons. It's the seesaw of politics, and our own taxes pay for men and women in nice new suits and nice Virginia homes to waste money, battling for the primacy every 2 and 4 years. In this life and at work, even in our families, we have to negotiate and compromise. That's a human condition. Whether it is about dinner, vacations, music, household chores, it should, however, come as no surprise to anyone here or listening in that one aspect of our lives in which we cannot compromise, the only thing that really does not benefit in any way, is respect to God's law and commandments. I recall the days of not understanding that I could truly not follow God and have 1 foot in a Christmas celebration with my parents. This would be considered by God to be double-minded and to be yielding to this world and the one who controls this world. Of course, my parents would not understand this, and this was not their fault. It was my fault for being insensitive and sometimes kind of brutal in how I tried to explain it, but I did not understand that I could not love them more than God and have God accept this as honoring my father and mother. Now, I was placing a false God, Christmas, and all that it includes, before our God, the one true God. A compromise in that situation, the center, would have been wholly unacceptable to God. To straddle the middle in this way was to be lukewarm. To be lukewarm about God and our commitment to God. And we know what God thinks about this. If you'll turn with me briefly to Revelation 3:16. Again, Revelation 3:16, reading from the NIV. And this is a brief comment by Jesus in reaction to this middle, this center that people try to achieve and that the Laodiceans were good at. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, that's not a place that any of us want to be in any way in our relationship with God. In a human condition, having a compromise may be the only way we can work with one another in our life with God. It's not in any way that he can accept or that we should pursue. Paul attempted to provide the Corinthians with an understanding of the dangers of compromising in their obedience to God. And we'll turn here to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And what we read is, do not be unequally yoked or connected with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God to do with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. That is a command. And touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord, the Almighty. Sounds like a wonderful promise from a loving, tough, and caring, fair father. The only requirement, and I'm not in any way treating this lightly, is to obey him and obey his commandments. Seems like a reasonable deal, since I began this by talking about compromise and negotiation and deal. God doesn't negotiate with us. He gives us a promise, and it's our choice to accept that promise. And if he calls us, if he draws us, we have this choice. But of course, following God's laws is perfectly impossible. Perfectly is impossible for humans, and possibly for only one human in history. We know that it was a certainty that Jesus Christ was able to achieve that. Trying our best not to fail when we do, because we will and do every day. We analyze the reasons and seek to eliminate them in our lives. That is something that we can offer to God, our perfect Creator, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Others may take a different approach and assume simply that being human and being imperfect is our excuse, and that God accepts that and we're fine. That's not what we believe. Turning to Titus for one more scripture here, I'd like to make a point. This is Titus chapter 1 and in verse 16. It's a very brief statement, but very profound, very meaningful. Titus 1, 16. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any work, any good work. So again, does that strike you as someone who has accepted God or understands that God expects us all to be on one side, his side, not in the middle? He does not seek compromise with us. I think we often hear these days in relation to the abortion issue, perhaps, that, and one need only look at a photo of a trash can from one of the clinics to see that the choice is murder. Public officials do not want to witness these things, and I've seen enough hearings where they attempt to show the legislators these things, and they often get shut down very quickly. And they refer to people that are opposing abortion as extremists. Former New York Governor Mario Cuomo gave a fairly controversial interview many years ago when confronted with the difficulty of facing his apparently devout Roman Catholic upbringing with his public position that supported abortion. When questioned, he made a line for the center, ran right for the center, that he could not impose his view on a large group holding an opposition position. And that was the safety, in his view, of the center. Millions of people sought middle ground when the Nazis decided to begin torturing and murdering millions of Jews and other groups, frankly. To confront the truth would compromise their business, their wealth and property, their lives. And not talking about simply Germany, I'm talking about many in the United States. The solution? Run to the middle and try to coexist with the Nazis. Many right here in the U.S., as I mentioned, did this in order to protect their status quo, their lives. They have may have also been hedging their bets. Now, in the sense of history gone by, we see what had occurred, but in those days, there was no guarantee. And perhaps they felt that Hitler would succeed, and they wanted to be on the winning team, so to speak, no matter what the costs. And I'm talking about many high-profile leaders and business leaders in the nation. We'll not turn here, but as a final point of emphasis, we can look at the following scriptures, and later on I would encourage you to just read through these. It's in 1 Kings 22 and also touched on in 2 Chronicles 18. And I'm just going to tell you the story here because I think it's meaningful. We meet a prophet that may not have been widely known. His name was Micaiah. and he was the son of Imlah. Ahab, the king of Israel at the time, had invited Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to help him take back the city of Ramoth Gilead from the Syrians. Before accepting their proposal, however, Jehoshaphat insisted that Ahab first seek counsel with the Lord. Ahab agrees. He calls for many, many of his so-called prophets of his day and asks them the question, is this the right thing to do? He asks them Ahab's question in response to his question as to whether he should go to war or not. And of course, like all people serving the king, they all rushed to support, and all 400 seers of the day answer unanimously that God approves of his planned action. Jehoshaphat was not convinced, however, and he asked for yet another. Wasn't there another man in the kingdom that had received the message from God? And he insisted that Ahab summon Micaiah, the one remaining so-called prophet of the Lord in Samaria. Reluctantly, Ahab bows to his friend's wishes and sends for Micaiah, who is in prison. Now, Micaiah was offered some very unsolicited advice by those who came for him that, hey, these 400 have already said it's a good deal to go to war. You should probably say the same thing so you don't get stuck in the middle here. Many modern pundits operate in this manner. They test the currents of the time, and then they gear their message to whatever people on either side want to hear. We can only look at history, and we see the decades past, civil rights movement, the laws that followed, the political activism of the 70s concerning Vietnam, and the beginnings of the environmental laws such as clean air and clean water, women's rights. In the past decade, we've had protests about public policy debates concerning gay rights. Climate change has also been the focus of political parties' drive to the right or to the left of center. And the latest that I believe is going to be a flashpoint is the insurrection era. And insurrection, in a view, is whether it was people saying harass public officials in the Trump administration or what happened back on January 6th at the Capitol. Rather than seeking the human center, which would have been a safe bet, the two parties are locked in a winner-take-all match for extremes. We can't live there. Our testimony, our commitment is to Jesus Christ and to God, and the pathway is clear. It's not to compromise. We have to follow. It's, as we've talked about Sabbath after Sabbath, one of the toughest things we can possibly do. But it's not our job to seek retribution for past wrongs. It's our job to follow God in all that we do. Seeking the center for small human things, things we deal with at work, that's fine. That's one thing. That's maybe how we coexist with one another as humans. But for the followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot allow ourselves to be sucked into this chaos. We have our commands. We have our marching orders, and they come from God.